few weeks ago, I wanted to share with you what I had shared with the church up in Warrenville in regard to a marriage made in heaven. And I've decided to just kind of expand on that a little bit each Sunday. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, there's a passage that I think it's the one I read, but it talked about laws being high and holy. And I had to do some searching to go and get back there because when I was reading that, I didn't know where I was, what I was going to be studying here. But the Old Testament story of God choosing Israel to be his special nation, and he uses the figure of a husband and a wife, that God the Father is the husband, and Israel as a nation is his wife. And we noted that a marriage made in heaven has the idea of benefits of bringing two entities together for the value of both. Well, I don't know how much value God gets out of the relationship with us and with Israel, but must be in somehow in his perfection that it certainly is a tribute to his glory that he takes sinful people and makes them children of God. But I was thinking about benefits, and then we talked about closeness, about the relationship of marriage, a husband and wife, that it's the closest relationship that we know of here on earth, and God uses that relationship to describe how he feels about his people. And we noted Isaiah 54 and verse 5, where it says, "For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name." One of the things we noted last week in this rocky relationship that God has with the nation Israel was his faithfulness. That in spite of Israel's perpetual wandering and rebellion and substituting other things for God, God has still, I believe, in the Word of God, committed himself to Israel even beyond our day. But then I got to thinking about this phrase about a high and holy law. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" Who's talking? Moses. When? Just before he dies. He's been told by God that he cannot enter the promised land, because he got angry and smote the stone when he was supposed to speak to the rock. But in spite of that, he says, to this nation that is not yet 50 years old as an independent nation, he speaks to them and he says, "The laws that you have been given by God are superior to any laws that any nation in the world at that time had." Let me read it again. "And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" I'm not sure that if we made a statement, a good law, how many of us would have a negative thought about a good law? Can any law be good? We live in a time when laws are not really, I guess if it was up for bidding, there'd probably be anything that was running against it. Or if there was an election and law was one of the candidates, I think the other candidate would probably win. People don't like laws any better than we like goals, because they convict us. But nonetheless, he said, these statutes and laws are what God the Father has given to you. In verse 5, he says, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess." It seems as though God not only had in mind that he was going to choose Israel to be a special nation, but he had a special place for them, and we remember that. I got to thinking about it. All those people that were living in Canaan during the 400 years that Israel was slaves and moving up to slaves in Egypt, they should have been reminded that that land that they were living on had been promised to somebody else. Be careful how long you plan to stay, because God has given it to the nation of Israel. The laws were superior. Verse 6, It says, therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes. And say, this is what the nations of the world will say about Israel. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now that hasn't always been true. But we had a special, when we started the church back years ago, we had a Thank God for Israel Sunday. And we invited Jewish people from all over the western suburbs to come to a special service. And in preparation for that, I did some studies. And I found this statistic that probably most of us haven't heard or don't remember. But if you take it on a per capita basis of the number of people in the world, the Jewish people have had more Nobel Prize winners, hands down, than any other nationality of people in the world. Why is that? Is that because God had given them high laws? Laws that were way above all the others. Laws that we don't like real well because they show us where how far we fall short of that. But they also help us to stretch, and they have helped Israel to stretch. And certainly it was also an indication of God's blessing upon them when they would be obedient. Before this passage ends it doesn't end, it keeps going, but down in verse 10 and following, he talks about the Ten Commandments. The law that God gave them in the Ten Commandments are still a 10-piece arrangement that is fought about in our country, isn't it? Can we have the Ten Commandments posted in public places in America? Why have they been posted in our country? Because they're a great, great standard of the law that God gave to Israel. In Joshua 1:8, Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And then he finished, that thy way would be prosperous and thou would have good success. In Isaiah 51 and verse 7, God says through his prophet, listen to me, you who are righteous, you people in whose heart is my law. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible talks about the law that is written on fleshly tables of the heart. James talks about the perfect law of liberty and the royal law and the law of liberty again. Four times he talks about the law as being liberating. Would we think of the law as being liberated? It is, because you know why? If we get God's law that is external, cultivate it into our hearts, it'll help us to live in such a way that we will have freedoms that some people could only dream about. And that is to have victory over our passions, over our temptations, that we would let God rule in our lives. Too many people view the law as a terrible noose around their neck rather than a beautiful necklace around their heart. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:8, but we know that the law is good if we use it lawfully. Dear Father, thank you for your showpiece nation. Oh, they don't oftentimes look as examples because they've been so rebellious, but your faithfulness is still there. They are in the land. They are there in unbelief. They are there surrounded by enemies who determine to annihilate their existence. But they are there because they have been chosen by you to be the wife of Almighty God. Remind us that we as believers in this dispensation are considered to be the bride of Christ with many of the same relationships. Help us, Lord, to love your law, to make it a part of our lives, as even Pastor Dix has shared this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.